put your visor on. Put your visor on.
That, Rory?
That was Alphabet Calls.
That ripped.
Who wants to be famous?
We do, we do.
Who wants to die for art?
Somebody else.
Torino, the biggest little city in the world, the American cradle of liberty.
Look at you, you're a freak.
What are we alive for, except to grab all the kicks we can? To contaminate our society.
Now being renovated.
Mr. Dowd.
Podcasting live from the recent past and the erupting and surging bloom of the first fake springtime here in Reno. This is the worst little podcast in the world. I'm the Reverend Rory Dowd. I am joined by my wonderful and talented co-host, the lovely Cadillac Kim, as well as Chewbacca. But more importantly, in the studio, like we said, it's Alphabet Cult.
On the worst little podcast, we're talking out of our ass.
Hi there.
Welcome.
What's up, Rory?
Thank you.
Hi, Chewy. Long time no
see.
Yeah,
I haven't seen you in a while.
Yeah.
How you been?
Back on the podcast together. We're part of Voltron. We're missing one lion.
Well, we'll be all right without him.
It's like a giant robot with one arm missing.
It's okay.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh. Yeah, you forgot Nick even is usually here. Huh?
That hurts so my heart. Important. You forget Nick.
Well, I didn't forget Nick. I was talking about
the blue
Voltron
lion.
Yeah.
Well, never seen Voltron.
I'm in Nick's seat. I can't forget Nick. I'm also wondering how he's always got the most comfortable seat.
He needs it because he's the oldest.
I was going to say, he's the oldest.
I'm just kidding.
He's the eldest statesman.
Anyway.
Well, hi, Kim. How are you?
It's
nice to have your giggly self back in the room with me.
It's just the beer.
Yeah.
It's the beer talking. No, I'm good.
How was your rock and roll weekend? I just want to start with you because our correspondent on the street, Cadillac Kim, was out there all weekend at the picnic.
Yeah, well,
throwing up recording after recording of some a really good event. It looked like.
Yeah, I started at Jub Jub's. I saw Reno We Have a Problem on off canceled, so I didn't get to see them. And then we went to picnic. That was fucking amazing. We all got really, really trashed for 4 days, and we're all really hurting still. It's bad.
Excellent.
Yeah, so Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday was Loudest Folk's 7-year anniversary.
How many people played? How many acts?
Holy fuck, like probably 25.
Excellent.
At least.
Excellent.
Yeah. Everybody was there. Probably my highlight.
I wasn't.
You weren't there. But
am I not part of everyone anymore?
Not anymore.
Oh, my God.
I met the musicians. It's not all about you, Rory.
Is he not a musician?
I'm a musician.
Well, you didn't play.
Mr. Dowd, none of those people are your friends.
Thanks for the reminder.
Anyway, I got to see Willie T. Taylor Saturday night, which was fucking awesome. If you don't know who that is, he's a pretty legit traveling folk musician. And Rachel and Elise ended Saturday night in pretty, you know,
sexually
fucking hell of a performance. They were great. place was packed all four nights, or all three nights, and then Sunday was a matinee. It started at 12, and it was crazy. I've never seen that many people in Picnic before ever.
That's so awesome.
Congrats,
that's
Spike. That was one hell of a thing you pulled off.
Yeah, hell yeah, Spike.
Yeah. So that's what I did this weekend.
You big jerk.
It's okay. You can call him that.
Yes, I can.
I saw a lot of video coming out of there. It looked pretty good.
Yeah, I tried. But most of the time, I was just enjoying myself. I was like, I felt really bad because Elise was like, you got to record everything because they don't have any music recorded together. Elise and Rachel don't. Oh. So I was like trying to get to the, because they were going to do that here. But yeah, so I was trying to get up and do it. But I was like, A, I'm a little bit drunk, and B, I'm enjoying this way too much to be looking at my phone.
Oh yeah,
like, I don't care. I did one song, and the phone's going away.
Yeah, there you go.
Was it like the kind of video recording that would like make you sick if you watched it on your computer afterwards because it's all moving back and forth?
No. I was trying. I was good.
I would have been there for one of those nights, but one night on Friday, I got to see the Teddy Bear Orchestra.
Yeah.
I don't know if any of you are.
No, we thought about that.
Go.
We went to see Hellbound Glory that night over at the Saint.
I should have went to the Teddy Bear. Such a huge night, like. I love Reno.
Going on that night,
Reno, stop being so cool and like stuff.
A lot of great show. The orchestra was great. I'm sure your show was fantastic.
It was pretty good. The sound wasn't that good in there. It's too. That room just doesn't really.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a nice big place, but when there's not that many people in there, the sound just kind of bounces off the walls.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it was a good show. Good song.
Yeah.
They were doing Merle Haggard songs for his birthday. So
excellent.
Yeah, that sounds like something they'd do.
It was fun. All right.
I'll find out more about that soon because I'm now working there.
Yeah.
I'm going to be working at the Saint and St. James Infirmary. So, people should start coming out and trying to find me there. I won't tell you what my shifts are. But if you find me at one of those two bars and mention the word Battle Mountain to me, I will buy you your first drink. The first person who comes and mentions
a bunch of people are going to show up from Battle Mountain and not know that that's the secret word, and they're just going to say, "Hey, we're in from Battle Mountain."
Whatever.
You'll be like, bam!
The first person to find me on shift at one of the two bars,
for every time
the infirmary or the Saint. No. Just the first person. The first person who mentions it the first time.
Rory, you're a fucking bartender now.
I am giving out 20 fucking drinks. Are you kissing me?
Oh.
Are you joking?
Are you gonna lie? Are you gonna lie to the first person and tell them somebody already did it?
Not at all. I certainly would not do that.
Ever.
This has an expiration of 1 week from hearing this podcast, though.
When do you start?
What if you hear it in 2 years?
I will be working this week that you hear it over the weekend.
Okay.
I will be working. So
how can you prove when they heard
find
it?
Me.
I don't think that's...
By saying
you find it.
By saying the magic word that won't be posted in the blog post.
It will not be. I promise.
There's a clumsiest advertisement for myself.
So, Rory, you're a bartender now?
Yes.
What the fuck?
Yeah, I know.
That is so rad.
I've been a bartender before. It's just been a while.
Right.
Like a decade.
Damn.
It'll be great. So come visit me at bars.
Yeah.
How was your weekend, Rick? What did you do?
I spent the entire weekend with Murder Rock.
Nice.
So Murder Rock is doing another album.
And you introduced them to my child?
Oh, my God. So I meet Riku at the jungle.
You introduced my child to a family of serial killers.
that rock.
And, yeah, that are really awesome.
So I was trapped in the studio all weekend with them, and it was so much fucking fun. And I found that one of the band members' wives listens to the last podcast on the left, and so we talked about serial killers for like an hour after the session. It was so awesome. We talked about how we listen to that show and then get scared in our own homes. anyway, but
you are a little scared, Nancy, like that.
Fuck it. Well, I'm all tough when I'm with a bunch of other people, and then when I'm alone late at night, I'm like, somebody could tell.
What was that noise?
Me. Yeah, for real. Does that sound like somebody prying the door open and the vampire of Sacramento entering my house to shoot me in the head and cut me up? Drink my blood. Anyway, so I go to meet Riku at the jungle before we go to church, and I walk in the door at the jungle, and there's fucking Chris from Murder Rock, who I've spent the entire weekend with. I hardly ever see him.
Maybe following you?
I did consider it, but he was talking to a beautiful woman, so whose name I forgot.
So were they going to church as well?
No. Turns out not everybody that goes to that Java Jungle.
Crazy. It's on Sundays.
It's going to church. Several people from the church do go there, though. And then people are like, how do you know all those old people? I'm like, I'm fucking go to church with them. So,
and I love that you take my prepubescent daughter to church with a bunch of old gay men. It's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, and the table afterwards.
It's the perfect religious upbringing, I think.
The church is mostly people in their 70s, 80s, and 90s. And
as
then,
most churches are.
Well, as most old school churches are. If you go to like one of like the rock church or like,
yeah,
or
those,
like the
those, yeah.
those hippy dippy like fucking like
Living
rock
Stones.
Band,
those
Living Stones.
Non-denominational
yeah.
mega churches.
They're like, then there's hot young people and they're all like
really?
Having orgies and stuff. And like,
what?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Seizures
Living Stones?
Speaking in tongues.
I was like,
went
this
to one
is,
of those places that sucked.
I
went to Living
out.
Stones.
Oh, yeah. Living
like,
Stones is kind of
this is
like...
the hottest group of all white people I've ever seen in my life. There wasn't a single minority in the room. I was like, wow, did they do that on purpose? anyway, but it was a great service. Anyway, so, and the band was really good. So,
Jeff Dunn used to be in that band.
No shit, that is so fucking awesome. Damn. And was Suda too? I know Suda played a bunch of church stuff.
I think he was in there too.
Fuck
yeah.
Yeah. Dude, so we, so, but then a subset of the church is this group of gay dudes. So, and all of the gay dudes in the church, we all go to lunch afterwards. And so, or breakfast afterwards. And so Riku's always like, there's the church group, and then there's the group of gay men that we spend an hour at the restaurant with afterwards.
You guys can keep each other's hands off each other for that long?
Oh, yeah. It's like, well, there's no glory hole at the Gold and Silver since they remodeled the bathrooms.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because I haven't been there in a while.
So, it's great.
Pleasant memories, I take it.
No. It's great. Trying to take a dump and you're sitting there trying to take a dump and a dick sticks through the fucking hole next to you. It's
that's
not
true. That didn't happen.
Kim, has anybody explained the glory hole to you before?
Of course I know what a glory hole is.
By definition,
that
that's
happen.
Exactly what happens. That's exactly
but
what
that
happens.
Didn't happen.
No.
Yeah,
I've happen. Never had that happen.
It doesn't ever happen.
Saying. But you did. You just found that one porta potty. On the top of Rattlesnake.
Yeah,
Garden.
That may or may not
be.
Have been a glory hole.
What?
There was a porta potty with an external like wood thing to protect it from the wind, and then somebody had drilled a hole in the side so that somebody could stand inside
beer?
The windbreak.
We got
break.
People for that.
Yeah.
Beer?
Can we get some beers in here?
Oh, what kind? Interns. We need
the
some
bottle
beers.
Beer.
Whatever,
the fancy
yeah.
beer.
The fancy
whatever.
Beer. We need fancy beer to the studio.
Do you want an Olympia?
Yeah.
Yeah. We got Miller Lite down there, whatever you guys want.
And I'll do a fancy
Miller Lite.
Miller Lite.
And a fancy beer for me,
and
thanks.
Some Blue Moons.
Thanks, Shrek.
Miller
Lite,
Blue Moon, and a fancy beer, boy.
I think we should probably introduce these lovely people.
Yeah, we should stop talking about glory holes. I just wanted to say that I ran into fucking...
What a perfect segue from the weekend.
I'm sorry. I ran into fucking Chris at the thing with Riku, and he freaked out because he realized as soon as Riku started talking that it's the voice from the podcast.
It's the worst little podcast. It's the best way I could seriously say it.
I'm just going to say, once again, Rick, first person to break the dick joke barrier is you with a bullet.
Yes. Yeah, no, and
yeah.
I... Yeah.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. Hi, guys.
But hi.
Hello.
Alphabet Cult, welcome to the studio. Yeah,
thanks.
It's been some time.
Yes.
Have you guys been over here to this
no.
particular location?
No.
Never.
Okay, excellent.
We've never podcast? Been on the show.
Well, no.
No.
Oh, sweet. Awesome.
But you've
never
been
invited.
In the studio.
I have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's introduce you.
You were never at the old Dogwater Studios
no.
for any purpose whatsoever?
Just to record, never on your show before.
Okay. But you were there.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Sparks,
Cyril was
you're
on
talking
the,
about?
The poor attempt at a live show we did at the.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I
yeah,
remember that.
The live show.
I still have the
for our
100th Jägermeister
episode,
hat. I just claimed that was going to be like a raffle prize. I was like, nah, that's I'm just going to take that.
Well, welcome, Alphabet Cult. You
thank
guys
you.
Have been a big part of the arena music scene in Mary Anarchy for a number of years now and in different shows all around. So it's nice to have you here in the confines of the studio.
It's nice to be here. It's
thank
comfortable.
Can you introduce your names and voices to the audience?
Ladies first.
Ah, well, thank you, Cyril.
You're welcome.
My name is Leah Ruby, and I play bass and sing in this band. It's your turn, Darren.
It's your turn. Darren, play the drums every once in a while.
Cyril here, guitar, vocalize. Mm-hmm. Just rocking out.
Yep.
Yep.
Yay. Welcome.
Thanks.
Thank you.
That cult. It's my first time seeing or hearing any of you guys, so I'm excited. I was like hella stoked today. I was like, I gotta go see new bands.
They are definitely a live Sonic experience.
Nice.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Shrek. You're the best.
This isn't for me.
All of you guys have been in Reno bands that I've seen for 20 years now.
Oh, yeah. What other bands are you in?
Yeah.
We've known each other forever. Jesus.
For a long time.
I first met and saw Leah at FSU at a gob show. When Kenny, it was the Kenny and Brian warehouse. It was the warehouse version of FSU.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah.
I'd seen you in Lodestar way long ago, too.
I know. The
awesome Lodestar band.
Yep.
Yep.
So how long has Alphabet Cult been doing the thing? How long have y'all been playing?
Maybe 4 or 5 years.
Okay. 4 or 5 years Yeah. Now? But we have known each other for maybe...
Late 80s.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean...
Pre-90s.
Yeah.
All of us have
been... Were you all Reno kids growing up or young enough that it doesn't matter?
These two were. I moved out here for the first time in 86.
Mm.
And so it took me a while to find people to play with and stuff, but...
How old were you then?
16.
Okay. Oh, I was gonna say, how the hell old are all of you guys? I was born in 1983. I'm like, you guys do not look old enough to be my parents.
We're super old.
You're not old.
Yeah.
I was born in 69, you know.
Wow. Yep. So was my mom.
Been around.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was that a cut?
No, and like,
so
I'm
my mom.
I'm as old as
actually,
so
I'm joking.
Your mom.
We're still
I'm
alive.
She was a mom
and,
joke.
And Kim,
she wasn't. It was a joke.
Your mom was
Kim,
born
for your information,
yeah,
I'm as old
I
as
know her.
Fucks too. So is Rick and Nick and Chewy here.
I'm kidding.
You're the wee bird.
I am
of
the baby,
group.
But yeah.
Rory, you leave it to the gays to brighten your day.
Was that a face?
Yeah, we got a bunch of faces.
So face.
Oh, and then this is my favorite.
Face faggot.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I mean, do you want to talk about like old Reno? Because
we are old as shit, Kim.
I want to hear about it.
Yeah.
Please, Grandpa, tell me a story.
Okay, what was Reno like back in the day?
Part of what we do with the show is document Reno music. I don't know. You got a good story about the olden days you want to launch into?
Yeah. Okay, I'll tell you a story. So I was 18. It was like, I don't know, maybe 1989, and I went to Pyramid Lake, and then there was, this is a fucking true story, I'm not lying, and I am not, this is a true story, but a beam of light came out of the sky and said, you should go and buy a bass, and so I did, and I went home, and then I had this guitar, and then my friend called, because I didn't go to high school, and my friend called me up and said, hey, since you're not doing anything, because I wasn't in school or doing anything, do you want to play in a show with me? It's just me. I'm also playing bass. And we're going to be playing next weekend. Just me. And I said, well, I just got a bass, so we could just be a double bass band. So in 2 weeks, we could actually just play at that show. And my friend Joe said, yeah, okay, that sounds like a good idea. And that was the first show I ever played, and it was with Cyril's band, Gray Mauser.
Oh, yes, Gray Mauser.
Uh-huh. Wow. And that was, was in 1989.
Yes. So you guys have known each other since 1989.
At the Tumbleweed.
Yes.
Nobody
at
ever gives Reno credit for how awesome it's always been. Like,
yeah.
People think,
it's always so fun.
Reno used to suck, but now it's got this great scene. But really, there's a lot of good music in Reno. Going back
With the different eras, you know, I got here in 96, but I met all these people who I was meeting knowing that they all have these other connections and configurations from years before I got here. And they tell stories about the 10 years before, the 10 years before, the 10 years before. There's always been a strong, strong presence in Reno music, like of people. The people who stick around keep doing good shit and they don't go away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You all now have gray in your faces.
We do.
We all do. Excuse me. You don't have gray in your face.
We don't have gray in your face.
What does that mean?
gray beards.
Like gray beard. Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Darren has a little gray on his face.
I try, so, but I can't grow a beard.
Aww.
You're going to make a dirty joke.
You should.
My daughter, since she was a very little girl, has always wished that when she grows up, she could grow a beard.
Aww.
You just got to make her a fake one, and then she could be a bearded lady.
Oh, I
for
have.
Halloween.
Yeah. I've actually made her multiple fake ones out of construction paper and taxidermy remnants.
Elise had that too when she was a kid.
Yeah.
Like when she was a little girl, like she was like 8 or 9 and she wanted a beard. And she didn't understand why she couldn't grow one.
Yep, exactly.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, you can now.
Mm-hmm. You can get them some injections.
I think
oh,
so, yeah.
Yeah, but anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, conversation's what she's saying off the rails. Is that it changes. I mean, you can grow a beard, but it changes too much more other things.
Well, yeah, but isn't there a way to grow a beard without having to do all the hormones and stuff?
No.
That's largely a matter of genetics and menopause.
I got a friend who's transitioned from female to male, and she said the hormones made everything make sense. Mm-hmm. She's like, I'm not a crazy girl anymore, and it's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
So...
I don't know.
So crazy girls just need testosterone.
Oh, that's so offensive, what you just said. I'm
just kidding.
Oh, but no, I didn't say it. My trans friend said it.
Right, yeah.
But you know.
Anyway.
Some users' experiences may be different than others.
Yeah.
She was like, I used to cry all the time and do all this stuff, and now I'm okay. So. Hmm.
But that, I feel like that comes with a whole host of other problems. Because then you're like, become, you know.
Well,
testosterone can be kind of a double-edged sword, I suppose. Right? Like being a dude's
like
not
it.
All it's cracked up to be sometimes. You like
Cyril,
it?
Did you say, I like it.
I'm glad. Yeah. More.
Yeah, I have none left.
Oh, Darren.
Yeah. And backtracking, since you all wanted to know, you're on the edge of your proverbial fucking seats.
Mm-hmm.
I also saw that same beam of light that Leah saw in 1989. Oh, nice. It was actually... a missile test from Vandenberg Air Force Base, and what it said to me was,
probably right.
You're never gonna have a girlfriend. You should just keep playing drums.
No, it said you're never gonna have a girlfriend because you chose to play the drums. You already made your choice.
I don't remember the exact.
That was like 30 years ago.
It's rolling up D&D characters, and you can never move on. You're stuck with this forever.
I keep getting 21.
Yeah, because Cyril's a drummer too.
Yes,
this is actually a rhythm section. Band.
Yes.
Cyril's just faking a guitar player.
Yeah.
He's super awesome.
It's a long
at
road.
It, but
no.
Yeah.
But to me, it's a miracle that the three of us are in a band and alive at this point in our lives, because I was a fan of Leah and Darren's when I was in my own bands back in the day. And you know, when you're really young, you can be in a band, do a lot of stuff, but then all of a sudden things will change and you'll meet somebody and it's strange. You'll have kids and all of a sudden you're an adult and, you know, you still try and be in bands and you move away and you come back and,
mm-hmm.
and things like that. And so I knew Darren and Leah when we were kind of kids. Then we grew up without seeing each other for a long time. And one day I was riding my bike with my daughter and we're going down to the park and a car drives by and out of the corner of my eye, I kind of turn and look and I think, geez, I think that was Leah. And you know, somebody I hadn't seen in a long time, but we keep riding our bikes but Leah flips a U and turns back around and stops me and goes, Cyril, me and Darren are starting a band.
Yeah.
And you're going to play guitar.
You can't really have a band without, you can't really have a band without the guitar player. Yeah. So we had to find one.
So you're a
drummer out there, Cyril. Cyril could do it.
But you're a drummer. Did you have to learn to play guitar for this?
No, I've always played guitar.
Always played guitar.
Yeah.
Okay.
But,
and you also play a little bass, too, right?
I'm adequate at most things.
Musician.
He's like Nick, then the plays everything.
Yeah.
So does Darren.
No, oh, by the way, Nick
said. Both of them.
Nick Ramirez does say hello to all of you. He wishes he could be here.
Oh, fuck that guy.
But he is doing something very important.
He's at rehearsals for Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
Yes.
There.
Bullshit.
the Bruca Good Luck Macbeth joint.
Bunch of black people down there, Rick.
When does that start?
End of this month.
420, right?
Gosh. Yeah, 420. Thank you.
My birthday.
That is opening night.
Yeah,
it's 420.
Yeah, this could be really good.
It is, and it is going to run through May 12th. So please get your tickets in advance. They are, I believe, $30 a piece. You can find it on Brown Paper Tickets.
30 at the door. $22 in advance.
Oh, damn. There she goes. She knows
better
than
you. I know my shit. This is my job.
I'm just going to say I'm going on the 5th, so please nobody go on the 5th because I fear change.
Would you like it? Yeah. Wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great to go the night nobody else went to, and it's just they play to an audience of you?
Oh no,
no,
God,
no,
that would be terrible.
That'd be the worst.
It's so awkward.
That's like half the shows we've ever
played. Just lay on that couch on the side of Bruca.
Actually, this is going to be at the new Good Luck Macbeth on Taylor. Yeah.
I forgot. I haven't been to the new
spot. It's the old music hall.
It's so great.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm so excited. Okay, who'd you see at the music hall? I think
musical?
I don't want to.
Did I see Fearless there?
Who
did
secrets.
I see there?
I don't want to reveal all my secrets.
Wait, that was a music venue?
That was the site of a number of punk rock shows, I believe, back in the 80s and 90s. Yeah.
There were transitional
periods. It was before my time getting here in the mid 90s. But I believe it was foundational.
It's on Taylor Street.
Would be great
on West
concerts.
Taylor or East Taylor? West. Wells. It's like right off of Virginia.
Huh. The
like
unemployment
50
office.
50 West Taylor, I think.
Gotcha. 124.
It's
right by
Thank
the old
you.
Frescoes building.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So
the
you had
Frescoes? You mean Rescos?
Frescoes. Pizza.
I know. Fresco. No, 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 no.
Resco.
No.
Fresco's on Plum.
Fresco was on Center.
Fresco was at the old Pepsi plant where the junkie is now.
Shit, this is great. Okay, no. Fresco.
Fresco's
this is,
was
okay,
on Center.
Fresco's was Fresco. Where Junkies is.
Yeah.
Fresco's was behind that. And you could get Low and Brow Dark there and play
Right now,
Adam's Family Pinball.
The pizza
and then if you went up the street in between the convenience store, it is Taylor, right?
You could get ungodly amounts of speed at Fresco's too.
Yeah, but nobody cares about that. Only if you're 17, you care about Low and Brow Dark and Adam's Family Pinball
and drinking in the bushes. Yeah.
You could try
Adam's Family Pinball. That's Woo-hoo! Something that's just that's generational across the nation.
We had Funhouse.
Funhouse is also good. Yep. Oh, give me five. The only pinball we can't five high five.
All right, let's try it again later.
The trick about high fives is you look at the other person's elbow.
I tell my daughter you look at the hand because she
misses. No, you look at your elbow.
No, it's look at the elbow. I taught my daughter that too. That's the trick to get it.
Trust me.
Because if you look at the hand, if you look at the hand, you second guess yourself and it's the end of your limb. If you watch the elbows, bang, you got it.
Okay. God damn, I got to tell all my gay friends. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh, Rick.
I've looked like a dumbass all my life.
I'm going to say bullshit, faggot, because I clued you in on that to help butch you up because you helped butch me.
I was
back
stoned.
When I used to be a flamer.
I needed a read. I needed a read.
Is it butch to give high fives?
Well, it always is. You know what I'm talking about?
All right.
I don't know about your boy world.
For guys to not be able to give a solid high five,
stupid boy world.
It's like not giving a firm handshake.
I've been trying to be a pretend boy my whole life.
It is being less of a man. I was a flaming heterosexual, and Rick was kind of
growing up a gay kid.
A tough.
I don't know how to shake hands. Yeah. I don't know. My friends don't high five me. Nobody high fives me. I sit at home and watch TV.
You think that's what made you gay?
Fuck yeah.
But Rick butched me up in our adult life because he knew how to fake it, and he showed me the ways of being a man. And I totally showed you the high five trick because that was like payment for
goddamn
telling
I
me to quit
that, Rory
because I kept ordering shit like Midori sours and tequila sunrises and you taught me how to drink
fucking we order VO
whiskey
7,
at a bar
7 and 7 you don't fucking order that fruity bullshit they'll think you're gay right
hey Rick
yeah
do you own a Without Jesus Your Toast t-shirt
no but I should
it has a picture of a piece of toast on it I really have this vision of you as like a 13 year old brawler in that shirt
no pictures of Rick at 13 year old has like a freaking Like a long black trench coat and a white shirt, standing in a graveyard with Robert Smith teased up mohawk.
Oh yeah, we were clones.
And a very sad look on his face.
Don't mock goth.
I really don't know how.
This was not goth. We this is when we were known as freaks.
It was goth. We just didn't call it that at the time.
We were just simply freaks.
But it was goth. I don't know how I don't know you guys already because I was in the same town.
You were in
Sparks.
Well, we probably all
freaks.
You were in
Sparks.
Hey, I came over to Reno to go to Rocky Horror Picture Show twice, once every 2 weeks.
At Keystone?
When it was on Keystone?
Yes.
Oh, look at the pride in his voice.
Like 100.
Yeah.
I went to Keystone.
Fuck yeah. Yep. Fuck yeah.
We let Sparks people go to that shit, yeah.
And then when they found a quarter in the parking lot, they could go to the Pioneer Denny's and get a coffee.
That's right.
Quarter of what?
Oh, for the fucking Pioneer coffee shop.
Love, Rick. L-U-V. Love.
Fuck yeah. Quarter of love.
So much nostalgia. This is the nostalgia episode. Yeah. That's what it's going to be called.
Yeah.
I haven't
even started.
Yeah, keep interrupting our stories.
I want to get to another song, but y'all remember Nora with the white hair who used to work at the Pioneer Coffee Shop?
Yeah.
Yeah, she was
the
best.
I think I do.
That place had a great
She was
salad.
One of the best, like, just coffee shop restaurant servers in all of Reno.
My sister's ex-husband worked there.
Well, yeah, because you could post up all day on your 75-cent order. Are we going to go take sensitive pictures at Mountain View later, or are we going to stay at the Pioneer? I don't know.
Who wants? Oh, Darren, you're killing me because I actually have done that like 3 times.
If you leave the Pioneer, you can't come back and still keep getting that refill.
I thought that was special. I thought it was just me.
No.
No ins and outs.
Pioneer was awesome. It's a shame that it's not there anymore because it was a big bunch of bullshit when they tore it down.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it was.
For no reason.
I have nowhere else to sing Depeche Mode now.
You can do it here.
You can do it wherever you want, really. Now there's like 50 places in Reno you can sing Depeche Mode.
Yeah.
You know,
when there was that guy around the corner right by the betting booth, CJ, who'd play there every Friday, Saturday night. This was in the 90s. He worked there for about 10 years.
That's when it was dumb, Rory.
Yeah,
Whatever. It was he was a very nice man, and he knew every song on the planet, and he played his keyboard and his guitar.
What's his name?
CJ.
I was really, really in a pretentious noise band with Leah in the 90s.
Yeah. Talking about the great gob.
G-O-B,
MC Gob.
Yeah.
Well, we played your tracks on this show.
Yeah, we spent like a show where we played the Split 7-ish with Lodestar and Gob.
Yep.
That was a good one.
Yeah, it was a good one.
Fuck yeah.
The Lodestar song.
Greco-Roman.
Awesome.
The 110, great song. The Thanksgiving Day, the Priscilla Ford song. Yeah.
Well,
those are the Lodestar songs.
That was one of my favorite records that we actually ever put out back then because of how creative the packaging was because of somebody.
Was that you?
Thanks, Darren.
I've still got the record.
Shut up!
Everything
you
that's
have
inside
your diploma.
I have mine too.
Yes, that's so rad. Yeah,
and I've got some weird random picture. It's like a picture of a fucking for rent sign or something. Yeah.
Chewy is our house archivist. Yeah, he has all of the releases and tapes of everybody.
It came
from
with a Satan's Pimp sticker too, which I wish I still had, but I used it on something like a bong or something back in the day.
Super cool, no doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that was the fun thing about doing that because we would do, paint the covers or try to come up with something different. It was as much for killing our time as, being cheap and not having access to technology. We were like, this could be fun. Yeah.
I could even have a newspaper article about Priscilla Ford inside, or there was a picture of her.
It was a picture.
Yeah. Mm. It's not, the world is a different place with the internet.
Internet?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the interweb.
It's a series of tunes.
You have to kind of, in the olden days, you had to remember that things had happened, and then you would have to go to the library to research them.
Yeah, or you had to call a guy.
You had to call a guy, or you had to talk to people. When Lodestar, when we made that record, that had happened pretty recently. My mom was a blackjack dealer at Harrah's.
My mom was too.
Shut up. Wait, who
said
that?
Rick.
Me.
Rick.
God damn.
I'm the only one not in the room.
Anyway, I know.
It's your magic voice, Lee.
I'm sorry.
I know, it's always confusing me. I'm not very smart.
Dude, it's your like, mom it's was like the genie head in the That's box crazy. On Pee Wee's Playhouse.
I know.
But the head's turned around. Think about it like that.
What was your mom's name?
My mom's name is Binky.
You guys
is that your mom's
mom?
Given name? I'm sorry.
Do we have the same mom? Let's take a maternity test.
You're right. Those early Satan's Pimp records, I mean, the stuff that they're putting out was like stuff you actually had to do some real work to get. Now you could just go on a computer and have that kind of thing done.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you kind of had to be creative.
But that's all of old music.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. No, things definitely changed with the advent of like, you know, or even just early Photoshop or Photoshop type clones and graphic design.
Yeah, we made.
I remember making fake newspapers in eighth grade on the TRS-80s and crap, you know, and the early Apples.
That's so dreamy. And just, we had a friend that worked at Kinko's, Bob Conrad. Yeah. He's still around.
Yeah, it's Bobo.
And he would, he worked graveyard. So we would just get a load of stuff ready to just get everything copied and printed and everything. Yes.
Well, I don't know where those four reams of paper went, boss.
Dude, there was a time when Kinko's was open in the middle of the night.
24 hours.
Dude, Kinko's.
About...
Oh my God.
Kinko's was 24 hours right
never,
up until like 98.
I never needed copies
like,
at 3 a.m.
Oh,
I
always
know that.
Needed copies at 3 a.m. and Bob was there.
You weren't living right, Rick.
When I first came to Reno, one of the people I was introduced to was like, oh hey, he's the graveyard guy at Kinko's.
At Kinko's.
And it wasn't Bob, but it was like some other dude at that point in time. Mm-hmm. But like that was an important connection in town.
Yeah.
If you're doing DIY punk rock shit,
yeah.
I worked at Fresco.
The graveyard guy at Kinko's
with people from
A.
Orange Peel and Worm and
that's
and
right
and
that's
and
why
we,
I know you
we get off work at midnight and then those guys would all go make flyers at Kinko's
either oh my gosh
lime green or orange
yeah
yes wait but I am so excited. Okay, so remember when we would come to Fresco's and just drink low and brought me and Joe?
Yeah, I remember that
because we played across the street at what's
Zephyr?
His name's house. No, he then eventually owned the Zephyr, but he was renting a house, which
Pete
is now...
Johnny?
Yeah, Johnny's house, which was Johnny and Tiffany's house, which is now Black Hole Body Piercing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
The house in the back of Black Hole Body Piercing is where me and Joe practiced Lodestar, and we would go to Loam. That's right.
Yep.
Okay, hi.
I remember
nice
those
to
days.
See you again.
I see you too.
Whoa, 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 whoa,
no,
whoa,
but
whoa.
I always remember you all the time from shows, but then I didn't remember you from...
I was at Fresco's for 6 years.
Yeah, right.
Like straight.
And remember...
And he was skinnier.
No, no. You look exactly the same.
He was just younger, Rory.
Yeah, younger. You're just talking about yourself. Don't bring that into shit. Look, I got him, kid.
Maybe a little bit. But. No,
I actually saw Joe last year at Jub Jub's.
Really?
Yeah, he was with Scott Loring, and they were just there hanging out for one night.
Yeah, because Scott played trumpet in Lodestar.
He did. He played, and there was a show I saw with Lodestar, Dirt Miner, and Worm, and he played in all three bands.
Oh, that's right. Oh,
Dirt Miner was awesome, too. They were only short-lived, but they were great.
Yep. She says, Dirt Miners, don't even get me started. They're so good.
We're never going to hear a second song.
Right. I was no, just saying. I'm
sorry.
Like,
sidetracked.
Wow,
it's, just,
like,
it's nice for
this
me
is,
to talk to you.
This is
kind
actually
of
riveting and fantastic, but let's play another song and get back to it.
Okie dokie.
Up above. ocean. Stab the ocean. Stab the ocean now. Stab the ocean now. Stab the ocean.
Trying to say,
hell yeah, yeah. What's that song about?
I freaked out on a bunch of drugs and started stabbing Lake Tahoe one day. It was the 4th of July, so I had a crowd.
Were you
deep?
Yeah, just like on the edge.
Yeah, that's a good time.
The edge of Tahoe is probably the best place to stab it.
That was one of the better decisions I ever made. That I'd get to the beach bright and early with three various alcohol-filled coolers, consume them all by 10 a.m., wake up in the middle of a family's picnic, stumble up the road to the 7-Eleven where I made the second greatest decision of that day. Why, yes, I'd like Hawaiian punch and tuna fish sandwiches. Oh!
That's what it's like if you grew up in Inkling. That's what happens.
Made by the third.
That second decision doesn't sound that bad.
No, the third greatest decision of that day was I think I want to drive home really fast, and then I want to try to go stand on my waterbed until I throw up.
That sounds like a great day.
Surfing on fabric?
Yeah, yeah. It had become a recent experience of mine because I took a bunch of shrooms in earth science class, and then I was a big fan of earth science. I decided I was going to cut the rest of the day, and I spent all of it trying to balance on said waterbed. A couple months down the road, 4th of July comes up. I got no friends. I got nothing to do. You could buy alcohol, no problem. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's how I spent the holidays. But that's
sounds fun.
The holidays.
Good old days.
But no, that was a
summertime.
You ever think about recreating that day? Just blow for blow.
I do that with my groups.
That's a great idea.
Wear a helmet for the entire day.
I'll take a work group out to Pyramid Lake, and they're like, what is this guy doing?
Read this pamphlet, let's get started.
Where'd he get a waterbed?
Yep, right. The 70s, generally. But
oh, yeah. Do they even make waterbeds?
They're making a comeback.
I hope so.
Because there's children alive who've never, ever seen one in their life.
That's the reason? Poor kids.
But no, that song was actually about how there's kind of a mythology surrounding did it happen or did it not happen with dudes of great power in the olden times saying, hey, army of mine, go out there and kill Poseidon or Neptune because I hate the ocean. So they would order their troops out and they would have them literally stab the ocean.
Wow.
Fuck.
That was effective. People.
Yeah, that's what we're going for. Yeah. Wow, fuck.
People have always been.
And then, like, if Poseidon doesn't hit back, they win, right?
Right.
That's deep.
Isn't it?
There were some air quotes there, but nobody can see that fucking Rory.
It's because I always count on somebody in the room pointing it out. We were so it's like theater of the mind.
You're just one step ahead, right?
The puns.
Is that what you're saying? Exactly. Yeah.
I'm a puppet. I'm the puppet master.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. So that is actually what that song is about.
Gotcha. Oh.
But I did actually do that stuff because I was a terrible human being.
You're supposed to say, I never did that stuff.
I never did
that
stuff.
I just made shit up.
One time, Rick and I went camping to Lake Pyramid, and he was having a bad day and had a very hard time setting up his tent.
He used to just rage out all the time.
He had a hard time setting up his tent, and the wind
kept
blowing
so hard.
And finally, at one point, he threw it down and jumped up and down and threw a tantrum and cursed the lake, threw things into the lake, threw things out of the desert, and went and pouted.
At the top of my lungs, I'm like, I hope the white man comes and built a factory on your piece of shit lake.
there's that.
At the lake.
And then...
That's incredibly gay.
Yeah. Well, most of the stuff, you think that's gay. You should see some of the shit I do when no one's
here. Then Rick proceeded to have one of the worst years of his 30s.
Yeah, you're not going to out-curse Pyramid. It'll
and I believe the following summer went out there all by himself and apologized.
That's a good idea.
Did that help?
I felt like the Great Spirit was like, okay, don't be such a dick. There's wind.
You don't fuck with one of Nevada's lakes.
Right.
Hey, nobody's going to build no factory here, dum-dum.
Well, it's not, I mean...
It's the sentiment.
Yeah.
It's not even about, I mean, you don't even have to be upset about the wind at Pyramid. That's just the way it is. Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. It felt like it was working against me personally.
It was working against me personally. Rick was taking it.
I didn't handle diversity at that time.
The other four of us who were out there with him, like me, probably somebody I was dating, and somebody he was dating, were all like drunk and laughing at him hysterically.
Right.
Except for maybe the person he was dating who might have been a little concerned and worried about getting some later that evening.
Right.
And having to calm him down.
I believe that's... No girl worries about that.
That's not...
Well, these would have been boys.
Yeah, these are boys.
But, right. Yeah.
No boy worries about that either.
Right. It's called hate fucking Leon.
Yeah. Sorry, post-tantrum sex.
That's a special kind, right?
Right. Happens once in a blue moon or two full moons in the month of March.
Special. People should keep better track of things. Like calendaring is important because I think you'd be more happy if you knew that you're getting those kinds of sex.
I do. I make a little pink mark in my phone. Like once, twice, no, three times a year. I have sex three times a year, Leah.
But pink, is pink the color of your sex?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I mean, aren't there a lot of different
colors? All the colors of the rainbow, Leah.
Brash. Shut up. Who said that? Who said that?
Huh?
He's bringing it back.
Who said brown?
That was a Harry Hole reference.
Dude, Ricky Rule. That was the best. Yes!
That is the color that Rick makes is brown in his little phone. Like a brown mark.
Yeah, best guy I was ever with. I was like, oh, like, you know, I think it might be. And he's like, it doesn't fucking matter. I'm that gay. It's okay.
Awesome.
That's a once in a lifetime occurrence.
Was that a full sentence? I don't think so. That what you just said.
Yeah, no, I was trying not to say a lot.
Yeah,
that
seemed like
I heard
a lot
your
of
whole
words
sentence.
Left out.
Right,
you
heard my Rory, whole. My
there's
whole
a lot
sentence.
Of
and Rick. I heard your whole sentence.
I'm just
Rory
to,
doesn't need to explain anything.
Oh, I'm just trying to draw a flashlight on the moment there.
Woo, that's pretty good.
Right. Okay, then.
Yeah, you guys do a lot of weird
shit.
Well,
should we have another song?
Yeah, let's like rear load this episode with lots of music.
Yes, please.
Rear load.
Rear.
Hell yeah.
I love how the last lyric before the end is near.
That's right. You were listening. And, thank you, Rick.
And fuck.
And it was there.
You guys sound fucking awesome.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, you guys are
appreciate that.
I'm pissed that I've never seen you live because I never leave my stupid house.
That's a great
segue. You have
segue.
A multifold sound.
I want to ask you dudes a question.
Yeah. Yes.
Start with Rick.
Yeah.
Same fucking question for
Whoa.
Everybody.
Okay. We're getting quizzed?
Yeah. I just want to know a show or two since you guys have been here that were hugely mind-blowing or influential on you.
Since we've been here?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, just like back in the day stuff or even
doesn't
recent
have to be super
stuff.
Wait, how long
nostalgic
did,
just
when did Rick move here?
When I was 5.
Talk about a live show we saw
1974,
out or
1975.
Whether you were a kid, it could have been Sammy Davis, it could have been
I was totally here the whole time. Went to Sparks High.
Just a couple things that
I'm 46 like now, super, so
that you would always associate with Reno.
The Atomics. I cannot nail it down to any one show because they all blend together so well.
Did you Jorge.
But my very first birthday in Reno, they played the skate park on Keystone. And I was there in combat boots and a skirt with leopard print hair. And it was like, really, I'd been in Reno like...
Did you get baptized?
The flood had not yet even... No, because there was no alcohol there.
Oh, okay. Skate jam. Okay.
Yeah. It was just at the skate park on Keystone, like in December. Just, you know, and it just happened to be a big show. There were like three other...
So, yes, that's a skate jam, right?
Well...
It wasn't like the skate jam that was happening at Lawler.
Are you talking about Stoney's? One of those?
The big warehouse. It was right at Keystone by the railroad
tracks.
Yeah. It should be across the street from Stoney's.
Yeah,
they had some shows over there. Parties and stuff over there.
Occasionally.
It was like in a side room off of the big skate park. His interior
It was
place.
A hockey place.
Yeah. We did DJ stuff there, too.
Yeah. I went to a few of those.
Yeah.
Yeah, those were fun.
And, you know, I mean, and I that was the first time I saw the Atomics. And then, frankly, over the next decade... It was the background music to, you know, a lot of the best parties in Reno. And I spent some time hanging out at Planet Nine with George and Luke when they ran the place.
Yeah.
And but the Atomic shows. Like, I can't nail it down to any one show, but the Atomic show, that is a quintessentially Reno experience.
Yeah.
With getting baptized, you know.
Oh, yeah. We used to work the door for them at the Zephyr all the time. And those were some really great shows.
Yeah.
Like the Atomics used to play from like 10 p.m. till 4 a.m.
Yeah.
And just play the whole time. And just get shit faced, and everybody in the crowd would be having a great time.
Half naked girls dancing on the bar.
Those were good shows.
Well, that's right. You were the door guy at the
This is going to happen.
That's right. I was.
Oh my God.
Chewie's been in the background of your whole life in Reno.
He's the character actor in the movie of her life.
No, not my life.
I'll see you next Thursday.
There are people, they're like, so there's like one person in the front. And then there's a huge group of people who are the behind the scenes people.
That's me.
I'm behind the scenes also.
Yeah.
I mean, you both. Lots of people play both roles, and yeah.
So what about you then, Cyril?
Reno shows. Man. Well, there's a band called the Boston Wranglers.
Johnny Fingers.
Yeah. Mike Clark.
Yeah.
This guy named Darius. And a great drummer. But
Darius,
yeah, I was in a
best.
Band called The Clients before, I mean, a long time ago. And so we were rehearsing, and they're like, Johnny Fingers and Mike Clark are coming over from the Boston Wranglers to see, you know, watch us to see if we could maybe open up for them. I was like, okay, whoever, whatever. Boston Wranglers up. But we got to open up for them on Halloween 1988 at the Blue Light. On top of Keys.
The Blue Max.
Blue Max. Yeah. Thank
Blue
you.
Max.
Blue
Max.
Thank you.
Blue Max.
Yeah.
That's cool.
You know, and I was 18.
And the Boston Wranglers were awesome.
Oh, I didn't. I didn't know who they were, what they were.
Johnny Fingers.
Right. And so, you know, we played and we did all right. But then they came out and they were older fellas then, you know, and they knew how to play and they knew how to perform.
They had a good crowd.
The crowd was incredible. And the tone and the band was just so dialed in, and I thought, wow, these guys are just professionals. And yeah. And actually, you know, that's kind of what set my standard. I was like, wow, I thought I was something, but I was only 18, you know, and these guys came out, and then they showed me how it was done. So I would say that show, Halloween 1988, you know, that was probably the best, most Reno show for me.
Yeah,
that blew my mind. And then I was in a different band called Gray Mauser, and we were at that time, you'd just play with anybody who was around, and we got this show at the Zephyr with a band called Gob. And I didn't know
it was before
you were in it, right? And
Darren was in it.
Yeah,
though.
But back, it was just like, cool, whatever's gonna play. And you know, we played, we did our thing, and then Gob came on, and I was like, whoa, because at the time, you know, I was playing drums, and I thought I was a pretty good drummer. Same thing with Boston Wranglers too, because I kind of moved out here from a small town in the Midwest, so I was the king of my little town.
Where'd you grow up in the Midwest?
Akron, Ohio, oh, okay. And Rockford, Illinois, Freeport, Illinois.
I grew up in St. Louis, Missouri.
Yeah, yeah. Nice Midwest.
Yeah.
But coming out here and then seeing and Gob and just seeing the power of just straight up noise
sound,
yeah. Right, and I was like, oh, okay, it's
blew
cool.
Me away.
We can do this, you know. I can just go ahead and be noisy, which was something I was kind of scared to do because I wasn't sure people would like, you know, I didn't want to offend anybody, but they didn't give a fuck. You know, they're just going, we're just going to destroy the air. We're just going to disintegrate. I was
people
like, okay, cool.
People want.
I don't know so much. No, I don't know.
Places.
It's tough now. I feel like sometimes volume, especially, it gets scary for people.
I don't know about now. But I know, I don't know. I do know that, this is what I think.
Yeah.
I think that maybe people don't know what they want, but they want something. So yeah. They want an aesthetic experience. They want like something that will move them.
Right.
And so.
But they have to check in with everybody like else first to make sure that it's okay to be moved.
Except that there is a thing, and it's sort of what I've based all of my music stuff on, is that there will be a story that comes out of some shows, and that story is super special, right? And like before the internet, people used to just tell it by mouth, like, oh my God, I saw this show and it's fucking weird or awesome or whatever, or I hated it or whatever, but it changed a little bit what people thought about music, just a little bit. They didn't like it or dislike it. It's not about that.
Just something different.
Yeah, it's just something. Or no, it's not something different. That also is not it. It's a feeling that they had where they saw the room in a different way. Mm-hmm. Like it shifted their reality for a second.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you like that. You don't like that.
Right.
In fact, most of the time you fucking hate that. But
or
then,
you pay $5 a hit for it.
And I'm exactly. Well, no. But then, no. You don't like it at first.
Right.
That's why it's free at first. It's when later when you're like, oh, wait a minute. I want to see the shift again. I want to see that shift again. I want my life to change a little bit again. Mm-hmm. And then you will go, and that's how crazy music and different artists will change the way that you feel about things.
Yeah.
It's not a first time thing.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
When the first Reno show I ever saw, I was about 16 years old. I was living up in Northwest Reno. You know, my friends and me, we'd like music and we'd hang out, but it was still a pretty, you know, sterile place up there, Northwest Reno in 1991 was.
Yeah.
But we went down to the Zephyr to buy weed off one of my friend's sisters. and it was on like a Wednesday night, and it was before the Zephyr was as big as it was when people still lived in the upstairs apartment.
Yeah,
yeah.
Right. Bed place. Yeah, yeah.
But I saw BOHJ and Short Fuse play. Yeah. And the place was just packed full. It was the first time I'd ever heard that kind of music. Never even thought about the idea that there could be rad bands in my city. And just, I mean, it was just, that changed the way I thought about everything in life.
I think I still have that flyer, probably.
I know.
Yeah, I think that they had like a running thing where every Wednesday night they would play BOHA and Short Fuse back to back.
Yeah, it was a skull guy holding a bomb.
We'd alternate between there and the Ice House. Yeah. Because we would.
Ice House.
Tumbleweeds. Great shows.
We would go on
Ice
after.
Ice House ruled.
After comedy and Monday Night Football.
Yeah. Yeah, the Ice House.
Which were you
bands
in?
Who became pretty famous.
Which one?
Which what were you in?
What band?
Yeah.
Oh, back then I was in Gob as a drummer for Gob.
When did it wasn't Robert Plant, it was
Jimmy Page.
Yeah, when did Jimmy Page come to see you?
At the Ice House.
He was when?
On one of the Monday nights.
It was Monday. And he was like, "Oh, then they started playing Stairway to Heaven." And he was like, "Fucking hate those guys," and he left.
Yeah. Oh, he probably just didn't get it.
No, a lot of nobody was supposed to get it.
How about you, Rick? You remember a great Reno show?
Yeah,
I never went to shows when I was younger. I was kind of a scared gay kid.
Rory started dragging me. Yeah.
So in the 99 is when I started going.
End
to stuff.
Of the Blue Lamp when that transferred over to the New Zephyr kind of era. Yeah. And Planet Nine.
And Planet
Actually,
Nine.
Planet Nine
we went
is
to Planet
where
Nine
we
a
met.
Lot.
Okay. And that, I mean, it really, George had some good shit. There was like House Rotten shows, and Captured by Robots for the first time
fuck
in
yeah.
Reno.
Yeah. And Zamora, the Torture King doesn't count as a Reno band.
No, but that was a show.
Yeah. But a show that I really remember that I fucking loved, and I remember thinking it was one of those really great nights, was at that crappy, it's not a crappy bar, but that bar that's like orange now, that's on Prater by the AA Club, but Prater and Rock in Sparks. Anyway.
That's spark shit.
Right. But no the Pistoleros played there. And it was it was a some charity thing. I forget what it was for, but
The
but
Los Pistoleros.
The Los Pistoleros.
Talking about the
and
bigger
it was
place.
Fucking,
it was kind of a big room.
Yeah, it's like one big room and it's got a bar
the Oasis?
And no, not that big. No. Okay. Although I saw a fucking Mindless Self Indulgence there. Dude, but the cool thing about it was the thing that changed the whole experience is that I fucking knew all the songs and everybody that was there knew all their songs. Okay. It was like all the people that were there were such big fans that they went all of their shows so much that they knew all the and it was like the band was playing the audience and that we were all and everybody was losing their fucking mind to it. It was
That's
you know,
so
often so often everybody's just standing there staring at the band and I wish everybody would just lose their minds together.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
And that
yeah,
happened and I times. Loved it.
Yeah. I hate to bring like,
that's why you play music. Like
I hate
fuck
to bring
yeah.
like a super you know, like a super band into the whole conversation because I don't think you need this. But I did see AC/DC once, and holy shit, is the only religious experience that
like
I've
church.
Ever truly
yeah.
had is when 30,000 people are singing the same song
fuck yeah.
at the same time for 2 hours and 15
yeah.
minutes. I was like, afterwards, people were cleansed. It was like, oh, I mean, it was the most amazing thing I've ever been a part of.
Yeah. That's a hard-working ass man.
Dude,
yeah. Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
really, it really was. It was, but I mean, the thing was, is the audience, speaking to what Rick was saying, is that it was the audience.
Yeah.
Every single person, and really, there were like.
The audience was there to work.
Yeah,
right.
Oh, working
yeah.
for it.
Yeah.
Man,
yeah.
and the first time that happened to me was at a Cure show in Sacramento.
Yes, that's
and it
was
like,
saying.
It was like, holy fuck. And to
totally.
Hear, and it was the first, when you're standing in the middle of that many people, and everybody is in the same moment at the same time, and they're
holy
all screaming
cow.
It, and it. It's so unbelievable to be in the middle of that.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing. I mean, live music
Wowzers.
Really changed your life.
And that's one of the reasons why it's okay to be like, no, popular music's good. Like, I'm glad Nirvana was on the radio. I'm glad that there are some mainstream shit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it makes little kids fall in love. That's all.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
That was a good question, Darren.
I'd also like to say, man, you had mentioned Worm and Orange Peel earlier.
Yeah.
I just
Sprout and that crew of bands.
Oh, they're super great.
Yeah, and War Maggots. And, yeah. Well, those guys, in my mind,
we're going
on
tour to Susanville.
Well, they were very modern at the time, and people don't understand. They could have been just as successful as like Alice in Chains, Mr. Bungle.
Except for they were young and, you know.
Well, they were just, we were just in a different town.
We were in a different town.
Those guys were visionary, you know, in their approaches to things.
All those bands. And Worm was amazing.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, Worm blew my mind. Yeah. They're incredible. Keyboards.
I would say Reno is a very different town than it was 15 years ago, much less than it was when you guys are talking about. Yeah, no, exactly.
I'm talking.
There have been that's two generations of Reno music scene ago.
Because, I mean, I was going to shows as a kid in the mid 80s.
Right, which is a whole other.
Started bands shortly thereafter. Like, 86 probably was my first band. And then we did our thing through the 90s. But by 2000, you know, I think Gob was just finishing with
Gob was finishing.
And I was in Scurvies by then.
Yeah. I was in San Francisco. Cyril was in North Carolina.
And so you see it shift like that generationally. And it's nice to always kind of be around seeing what's happening and being able to be stoked on what people are doing. And like
evolution.
For me, like this... What you guys are doing is part of that evolution and documenting. Yeah.
We're all lucky to get to do this because we're all old. I don't go to bars all the time anymore. No. I can't see all these live shows, but I see awesome bands here at the studio.
Yeah. And we started this 8 years ago. And I mean, this has introduced me as many bands as I've been able to bring in and introduce to an audience. Other people or random folks have booked with the show and introduced me to their music.
Yeah.
And it's really helped
And that's saying
promote the scene largely.
Yeah. And just think about that in the context of how much has changed from 2010 to right now.
And or how many venues we used to have in the 90s.
And so us being nostalgic, oh, this happened then and we did that then and we saw this then is great. And it's cool because it's kind of like, sweet, I remembered something.
Yep. Well, I've been waiting for a show like this for years because we see all this new shit, but it's so cool for me to talk about the old days.
Well, dude, let's be nostalgic for now.
Yeah.
Because
now
is pretty fucking awesome.
There is tons, way more stuff.
No, it's
way rad. I mean, God, remember there was nothing. I mean, we were like, Reno was a totally
about 20,
different place.
My actual very first show in Reno was in the Ryland Street basement. Not the current Ryland house, but like Zach and Adam and Dave Bruce's old place. Yeah. Right on the corner, 516 Ryland. Yeah.
Yeah. We had great
and
shows.
That was a shithole of punk rock DIY shows.
For sure. And
Green Day played there in the basement at some point.
Marilyn Manson played there in the basement.
That's a big, big part of the thread of people that will continue to do things regardless of age. Like the three of us, we know there's never going to be more than like 8 people that might actually be stoked on what we're doing, but we like to play.
Yeah.
And we love to live in Reno, so we don't get any success.
But we're just going to keep doing it.
But like you guys knew each other when you were young. Now it's cool for you to be this age. Yeah, not have to worry about any instability
and
or anybody.
It's still committed to the art and the craft.
Music. Yes.
Yeah, and it's never
like for the fun and for the love of
it. That's why we play. It's never been the disillusion and the naivety of make it blah. We just were
you said the 80s. You know, we're gonna be the next 7 Seconds.
Yeah, we were like, no. We were fucked up kids. We're still. Relatively
fucked up
now,
kids.
But music was always an outlet for part of that.
But there's a really important thing about being human. And being human is about making things and doing things that are valuable. And it's not buying things, which is what, for some reason, I think people think it is. I don't know. But
except for amps and guitars and distortion
boxes. For our New Year's resolution for our family, we're not buying each other presents this year. We're giving each other experiences.
Well, yeah.
But for that exact point, it's not about stuff. It's about the doing.
Well, but what I'm talking about is like, remember in Apocalypse? Apocalypse Now, when at the beginning of Apocalypse Now, there's a big dance and it was a full, everybody, they were getting married and it was just a full generational dance and there was a band. That's what people do.
Great Santini.
Yeah. They make, yeah.
Yeah.
People make music and they write and they draw and they on whatever. It really isn't. For some reason, I think our country has totally made things bizarre. I mean, you don't do things because you're going to be famous.
That's a
different thing. You do things because you're human.
I do it because it's a coping mechanism.
That's yeah. right. Yeah. You're human. That's what
do
I
it because you can do nothing else.
No, but yeah. I mean, that's
the, my spite to the universe is making my art.
There aren't any people who don't have to be human. It's not a coping mechanism per se. It's what
it
you do to be. That's what people do.
It's 100%.
And so
the
tradition of music making, we don't have like a folksy tradition of music making. Like we're not klezmer dancing or whatever what people do in Poland. Or
you don't come over enough.
Well, whatever.
You guys do klezmer?
But American rock and roll is its own, like, you know, cultural artifact.
Well,
that will,
at this point in time.
In 200 years, people absolutely. Are like, oh, that's like this whole other thing you study in college.
Right, and then there will be, yeah. Well, and then there will be restaurants where you go right. and eat hamburgers and dance and, or whatever.
And a guy with a little PA strapped to his hip walks around with a Gibson and serenades you with, like, Def Leppard.
Or alphabet cult songs.
Hey, speaking of which, let's play one right now.
Yeah.
take an airplane or a boat.
So I have to say, I have to say something to you guys.
Yes, sir.
It's like if Sonic Youth and freaking Black Sabbath and a whole bunch of other like great
Thank
band
you.
And Little Archer's a Loaf maybe like in this orgy here.
Dude, it's got such a great fucking energy.
And
it doesn't lose anything from what what it sounds like.
Individual songs remind me of multiple bands at the same time.
Thanks, man.
Like it's like a live mix of emotions and styles happening.
Thanks, Ruby.
Yeah, no, awesome. Like you guys take your art seriously.
Just saying Sabbath and Sonic Youth, two of my favorites right there, so that means a lot to me. Appreciate it.
But some bands write songs, you guys are making pieces.
It takes a while.
We all write them together.
And that's
great. No, the collaboration is where it's at, I think, at the advanced level.
You guys have music out. You have a place to find
band
stuff.
On the
I bought one of your tapes.
It's Bandcamp.
Bandcamp has everything.
Yeah.
Bandcamp. Look up Alphabet Cult Bandcamp and you should be able to find it.
Yep.
All right.
Do you have any upcoming events?
We're playing this weekend in the parking lot for Debaucherino to scare the early arrivals away.
Speaking of the old 516 Ryland. What is this, 25?
Yeah.
25th anniversary of Sticker Guy Records, Debaucherino 3.
Yeah. That's a pretty awesome
thing to say that 100% true story, Lodestar was the first sticker that Pete ever made. That's true.
Is that the one that said Lodestar, or were those the I Heart Nevada ones?
It was the one that said Lodestar, and there was a little dump truck.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And then I Heart Nevada was later.
Okay.
That's pretty fucking fantastic. Like, and so was Built an Empire.
Yeah.
And it was at his mom's house, his mom and his stepdad's house.
Stepdad
had a lot of pictures of Elvis on the wall.
Any of you guys got any
dick.
Old BG bi-weeklies?
Yeah, I got them all.
Yeah.
Do you really?
Yeah.
I'd like to get
a
hold of you sometime and check them out. Maybe we can.
Yeah,
me and Joe
copy
did BG.
I can copy them for you.
That'd be great.
You like the Sprout one?
All of them. There was an Orange Peel one. Yeah,
No, I got them all.
Okay,
Chew is our archivist. He keeps.
Yeah, but I don't have any BG bi-weeklies.
Yeah, no, I'll get them. Okay. I mean, they won't probably.
What's
be...
super?
What,
bad
I'm sorry
about
for
the
listening
still,
audience.
Still,
please
like to read them.
Please to be explaining what's a BG bi-weekly.
It was a
band gang.
Bi-weekly. It was the Brino band gang. It was a zine.
Me and Joe made BG bi-weekly, but I thought bi-weekly meant twice a week. I didn't understand at that time that it was twice a month.
Every other week.
Because I was little. I don't know. And so we were struggling because
just
we were trying
out
to put
content.
Magazine out twice a week. Because BG bi-weekly, you know, is the alliteration thing. So I was like, we can't not have alliteration, so we have to work double hard. That's I didn't understand what bi-weekly meant at that time. It still is confusing.
It only
ran
for about 6 months or so, I think.
Yeah, I would have thought it meant you were bisexual and it was coming out every week.
Which also was also in there too. Thank you, Rick, because we were ahead of our time. We had all sorts of weird shit in there. Me and Joe and I, we didn't know anything. We were just two bass players alone. In a band by ourselves.
And sexually.
And we were bisexually. And we thought, I mean, that just goes to show.
Time
we thought
that
bi-weekly meant twice a week. So it only lasted for 6 months, but that is a lot of newspapers for two people to write in 6 months.
How far into it did somebody say, no, that means every 2 weeks?
I was...
Probably after
like,
2 weeks.
Yeah. We were like, "Oh man, we didn't." It was so stressful.
That's fucking rad.
I'll get in touch with you somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I hear you know Lynn.
I do know Lynn. Yeah. Lynn's an old friend of mine. So she knows how to get a hold of me. So
It's just a matter of me going to the basement and finding the right crate.
Gotcha. I got a lot of those myself.
Yeah, I know. I'm huge into documentation.
Yeah. Well, I remember somehow I knew that you put out all Gob stuff like real quick on like a bunch of zip files or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
All the flyers and all the songs that Gob ever did.
Yeah.
Recorded. Yeah. And I got that. No quick chance I had to get it. Because the only Gob I had before that was a smorgasbord tape, which was real fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that. Do you by chance know what your B-side was? Because each one
it was the French porn.
Yeah, everyone was different.
Yeah. Oh, really? Oh, wow. I was figuring out everybody had that.
Nope. We made 100 of those. I duped them all in the living room, and each B-side was different based on
100 different B-sides.
No, it was like the world's greatest cock, I think, is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. I would play a version of that with a companion piece I found on 8-track that it claims to be an instructional tape, but it's just really badly done voiceover 70s porn about a trip to the dentist.
And I remember
I would play.
You better open up there.
I would.
I'm going in.
Is it a big hole, doctor? No, it's a small one. Anyway, I would play that B-side you have and loop it with this 8-track porn I had transferred at full volume through sub cabinets and all the speakers I had out of Black Rock for years and years and years, just to see who would come and complain. how long it would take them. Yeah. Usually it's right after the oh doctor part, it's please, you're ruining our experience.
Hey man, we didn't come out here to hear some doctor porn.
And I'm like, okay. And then here comes Despise You and Idiot Flesh and stuff that I really liked then. And,
totally.
Yeah.
Because by that standard, anything sounds good.
Yeah. I'm not a popular person for a reason, Josh. Gotcha.
Well, I like weird shit too.
And on that note,
you guys should get married.
Well, on that note, Rick, I think it's time for my music.
No way. Are we doing that? We're like an hour and a half into the show right now.
Oh, gosh, are we really?
Go. Yeah, we've had a great show with no quiz.
Yeah.
Well, then fuck it.
I think we could skip it. I think we got to a lot of things.
Let's do the show.
No. I didn't realize we had gone on so long.
Is it your love language quiz?
No, it's a horrible quiz where I ask you uncomfortable questions, but it takes like half an hour, so we won't do it.
Cool.
You can't ask me anything. I dare you to ask me something. Oh,
and that's another factor is it would be no fun making her answer terrible questions.
No, because
she'll totally
it'll be
just
fun.
Her, not me.
No,
you know what?
We will schedule Alphabet Cult session 2 where we start with the quiz.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. We will reschedule with you guys.
You
will
feel good at the end of that show.
Yeah. Well, we made it to the year.
I don't think so.
We made it to the year 2000, so we can talk about the last 20 years.
Right. I'm going to ask you questions about the years before Facebook. What happened when you weren't taking pictures?
What was that? I wasn't paying attention.
And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, please check out Alphabet Cult on Bandcamp.
You got the show coming up. Where's that at?
Jubs. We're playing the Saturday and early. It's part of the record fair that's free for all ages from like 12 to 7.
Really?
Yeah.
You guys are playing that?
We're playing it like 1.
Oh, cool. Maybe I'll bring my daughter down
145.
There. Records.
Where?
There'll be good records there.
6.
Jubs?
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, cool.
I'm looking for records right now, so.
Come see us.
All right.
Yeah, we're going to play at like 1:30 or 2 or something, but there'll be...
Are you guys playing at Mary Anarchy?
Yeah, we're playing that. That's the end of May, right?
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know what date. Shames are playing that, aren't they?
Yes, we are.
Nick just said, hey, here's the set list. I don't have all of it in front of us. We'll tune in another week.
I can't wait to see another great Mary Anarchy.
The only issue we have is I don't think Shames and us can be on the same night, though.
No, it should be on the same night. I'd rather just
get it done over
one amount of equipment.
I have tried doing
all on the same
even
night.
Doing Princess Bombs and One Ton Dooley on separate days. It's like, nope, I want to do that shit on the same night.
I want to enjoy watching one night and playing another.
Right.
Absolutely, it's a totally different experience.
Okay, so Rory, I'm gonna call it. We're playing the Friday of Mary Anarchy.
Okay, that sounds good.
Yeah,
I'm gonna take that day off.
Let everyone know.
Nick, I hope you're paying attention. Darren's giving you some direction.
No, he's telepathically imparting that information to me.
Oh, gotcha. Nick is the resident space case. He does have the powers of the mind.
Telepathic for sure.
Yeah, no, and being a former psychonaut, I get it.
Yeah.
Speaking of psychonauts, the show you put together on Saturday was really good.
What are you talking about?
You brought all that food and, you know, we're hostessing or whatever you were doing.
Oh, Dan Ruby and Friends.
Dan Ruby and Friends, yeah. That was crap.
Yeah, Dan Ruby has new music out too, correct?
Yes, that's on every platform though.
Yeah. Oh,
let's give a little plug to that. What's happening with that?
Yeah, because Cyril and I both contributed drum tracks to that.
Excellent.
So,
Dan's a great guy.
Dan Ruby and Friends is a spectacular. I can't quite say how wonderful the project was. It was thank you to every single person that has contributed to the culmination of who he is as a person right now. So it's like every single ex-girlfriend, every single ex-friend, every single friend, every single teacher, every single, I mean, 100, 500 people. He wrote personal letters.
Yeah, the packaging is insane.
He wrote personal letters. So there's the...
Leah wrote some for it, too. And just to interrupt you, it really does tie into kind of the trip down fucking memory lane, being all nostalgic tonight. Because, like, Leah's piece that she wrote for the... It's a book that comes with it.
Oh, really?
Only for special people. Not everybody gets the book.
Yeah, but it's still a part of documenting then to now.
I think I knew about that from Discology. They probably still have copies of that. Is that right?
Well, yeah. That's really neat because Discology is super awesome and Troy at Soundwave is super awesome. And
Sundance. Soundwave closed 10 years ago.
Sorry, Sundance.
Remember Soundwave?
It's so different.
You can pick up copies of Mirabelli's.
Yes, it's the same dude.
I'll see you at Park Lane later, Lori.
I know. Right. Thank you.
I'll meet you right outside Mirabelli's.
Right. Yeah.
Get a hot dog at Woolworths.
Oh, pizza by pizza pie.
Shoplifting cassette or two.
Crimping irons. We are going to steal crimping irons.
God.
Stop it. I'll meet you at Mayfair before the skate jam. Okay, so anyway, the bookstore, Sundance,
yes.
And Discology are the only two places that have the record. But the record, so the record is like Dan's version of the Voyager record, and I'm sure everybody's familiar with this.
The record shot out into space to explain humanity to the world, to the universe.
Because, you know, aliens are going to be stoked to put that on their turntable.
They are soft and squishy and have no horns or hard parts. Let's go eat them.
But I just see it as a really awesome document of something that had happened to something that just happened. And, you know, Leah contributed to that.
Right on.
And, yeah, people should check
it
out.
So did Cyril. I'll definitely try to get out in the next couple days
and
pick it up.
Go out and make sure those suckers get sold out, Reno people.
Dig
that. Well, that's what I wanted.
This sounds like this could be the start of, like, another 20-minute conversation.
We'll just say, dig that crazy beat, kids.
Yeah. But I am going to thank you all for being here, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, it's been really good talking to you guys.
No, thank you guys.
Alphabet Cult here in the studio. Leah, Darren, and Cyril, thank you guys for edifying us on a little Reno history. We should have you back on again and do a part two of this. I think it would be a lot of fun.
Yeah,
totally. So for...
Only if you guys are nude.
I done. Like,
you guys remember when we did the 3 hours with Tom?
It's done.
I will.
I love you, Rick.
Fuck yeah.
Can I wear a bow tie?
I'll get naked for you.
I'll be the rest of the way nude.
Rory, I don't want to know about your weird shit.
Yeah.
It'd be on my neck, not anywhere else. So, ladies and gentlemen,
I believe they call that a pearl necklace, Rory.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you for your little voice, Darren.
Chewy, Cadillac, Kim, Dogwater Dick, Nick Ramirez, the interns. I don't know how many fucking people are associated with the show anymore. I am the Reverend Rory Dowd saying thanks for listening. Life is short and we love you. Good night, ladies.
On the worst little podcast, we're talking out of our ass.
you.
Go home to your mother.